Let's talk about sex, baby. But before we get into it, tell me, spit or swallow? Hi, welcome back to another episode of Spit or Swallow Pod with your favorite host, House of Chocolate. Thank you for the likes, for the comments, for sharing, subscribing. Today is a special day as per usual, and I have with me a very, very special guest, Amiola.
Hello.
Hi,
why am
Amiola.
I special? What makes me special?
Anyone that sits on my chair is special to me. But tell us, Amiola, what makes you special?
I don't know. Everything about me makes me special, I think. My existence makes me special.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So before we get into it, spit or swallow?
I think it depends on the who. So maybe a little bit of both. Sometimes
spit, sometimes swallow.
But depends on the who for the swallow.
Depends on the who.
Yeah.
Not the taste or the mood.
Well, the taste. I think the who would also... The taste is part of the who.
The taste is part of the who. I like that. I like that. So today we're going to be talking about sex and love. But before we get into that... How's your sex life?
These days is almost non-existent, to be honest.
Wow.
But I don't mind it. I feel like it means that I'm choosing what I'm being very particular about what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if it's not that, then vibes. Yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Great. So, yeah, we're talking about sex and love, how they are connected, you know, kind of like differences between sex when you're not in love,
mm-hmm.
sex when you're in love, you know, benefits, downsides, I think, just anything and everything. So what would you say is your experience? And what would you, first of all, let me start with love. Okay. What is love to you?
What is love? Love is a feeling. Mm-hmm. It's an emotion.
Yeah.
That's very intense.
Uh-huh.
I think, like some people say, it's a mental illness.
It is a mental illness. Oh, Lord, it is a mental illness.
It's very intense. I don't know. I think you take leave of your senses and just, like, start to move crazy. Mm-hmm. But they say it's a nice feeling as well. I wouldn't know.
What do you mean you wouldn't know?
I don't think I've ever been in love in my life.
Really?
My entire life. I've had, like, I've really liked certain people. But I don't think I could say I've been in love. Maybe the only one person I could say that about was like my first ever
relationship.
What do we even call it? A relationship was a boy that we used to hang out because we lived in the same estate. He schooled abroad and then he would come home on the holidays and would hang out, you know, and fool around and stuff. But he was, I think it was a thing where he was just this person that I really admired, like his brain as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just liked being around him. And then we tried to date for a bit and it didn't work out. Because he was just this person I just like admired. And I think I wasn't myself in that space. I was just like, oh my God, this guy, you know. I don't call that being in love though.
Yeah, but like when you say admired, do you think it was like a sexual connection? Was it
yes.
like...
More like, yes.
Yeah, but then were you physically like attracted to him?
Yeah,
and all that?
Yes. Yes, I was. But I think that when it became a relationship, mm-hmm. like when it became, I think I have a problem with labels as mm-hmm. well. So when it became a relationship, it felt odd. The dynamics felt very weird.
Why did the dynamics feel odd? What would you say changed?
Expectations, I think.
Yeah, because I was going to say if the relationship changed certain things, but you had a physical attraction, mm-hmm. you had a mental attraction, you would like being around this person, you were in like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
But then it was the relationship that changed the dynamic. I wouldn't necessarily say that wasn't love. I would just say it would be more, you know how like relationships open up a certain level of vulnerability that regular,
yeah,
casual setting, when the stakes aren't so high, mm-hmm. then there are certain parts of you that will show up. And mm-hmm. then obviously when you're in a relationship, like you said, expectations started to change. So it's like, who needs to show up more? Are you being more vulnerable? So maybe it was, you know, the dynamics that fucked that shit up, but mm-hmm. it might not necessarily have been like, oh, you know, your feelings weren't real.
I mean, I said it's the closest thing that I would say to have been
in love.
But I mean, when I think back about it. Just, I don't know if I was in love. I don't know if that's how I would, that's the feeling I would ascribe to being in love, right, today.
Today. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Because for me, I always feel like, a lot of times when I, the few times I can say, I loved certain people, when it ends, I'm just like, actually love.
What was that?
A little stint of, you know, because sometimes I think that, I mean, there's infatuation, there's loss. I think that sometimes we're also in attachments.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually get used to like somebody being in your routine and in your life, and you can develop some form of feelings. But I think that in some ways, I think it's also love, because there's some relationships where your feelings for them might not have been the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
Then shit ends and the devastation is so much. But I think that a lot of times it depends on what is going on in your life at the time. Yeah.
Couldn't it be that you just got really comfortable with the person and then like...
Yeah, so that's where I was going to head to, where it's like sometimes a breakup can, you know, shatter you, not because that was the love of your life and you lost something so deep, but just the feelings that come with breakup, how you guys broke up, for instance, if somebody lied or somebody, you know, those ones can bring up feelings of inadequacy, you know, you're hurt, you know, it can also be one of those things where you're just really attached, and so your body's getting used to like detaching from that person. Yeah. It might even just be withdrawal your ego. Symptoms. Exactly.
Yeah.
Withdrawal symptoms. It might even just be your ego as well. So, and then there's some people, so for me, I always say like the best relationship I ever had, like my greatest, like flawless, like the first time I ever in the history of me ever said, oh yeah, I'll probably marry, like I could marry this person. Mm-hmm. And we even spoke about it. When she ended, I'm sure I cried for like 2 days. And after that was it. And trust me, that was such a good... And so sometimes like, but I did love that person. Like, it was nice. It was peaceful. It was safe. It was, you know...
But it could also be that you just didn't want to dwell in that.
I mean, I never want to dwell. Yeah. But there are some people that I don't want to dwell, but I'm still dwelling till tomorrow.
Whether you like it or not.
Do you guys like, if I think about it, I'm just like, punish you faster. So you just never really know what, like, you know, these like intense, like, and that's why I agree when you say like love is like mental illness, because there are just some, I always ask, the same way I always say, like, even with my spec now, for instance, I have like a tear, it's the same way with like connection and even with sex. I feel like I have a tier one, like a top.
Mm-hmm.
In a tier where all the feeling, all the rules I have for like, oh, they're different when it's there, because I don't know who that person is. Like, that's like the rawest, like most vulnerable, like me who was like, oh yeah, I can do polyamory, da, da, da. Over there, no.
No,
you're mine. Like that's the one where it's like, if you push me to the wall, I can murder for you. You understand?
I think I deliberately avoid vulnerability.
I think we had a conversation about that at some point in time.
Because I'd rather not.
Yeah, like the thing is, there is like that loss of control that you will experience when you go that deep.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I'm always like, you know, what's life if not lived on the edge? Like, I want somebody who will drive me to the brinks of madness, you know? Mm. Like, that's when I feel like it's real. Like, it's not like all of those other ones aren't real.
Yeah.
And a lot of people end up choosing like the peaceful, calm love. Oh yeah, we're compatible. It's companionship. Da 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 da.
You want to feel passion.
You know, so yeah, that even leads me to like one of the definitions of love. And I agree with what you said. Like, if someone asks me what is love, I'll first say like, love is a feeling that you more or less cannot control. Like, the times I felt like I fall in love with people, I'm always in resistance mode. I was like, it's a lie, but you will fall whether or not you like it, because I'm a very like energetic, I believe in like, you know, energy and like connection and stuff. And so I feel like, you know, those kind of emotions, you can't necessarily control it. You can only try. You can. Some people run away. Some people, when they feel anything close, they'll disappear. They'll ghost. Da da da. No, I will always like try to explore that. But it's also a choice, because yes,
are you adventurous? Would you say?
Sorry.
Would you say you're adventurous?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I will say so.
Okay.
But even my adventure is like controlled adventure.
Okay.
I'm a control freak. I've come to realize. Well, and when it comes to my life.
Okay. But when it comes to your feelings, you're not.
So, yeah, no. When it comes to my feeling, no. Because the thing is, I rarely feel like that deeply.
Okay.
And so, but even within the bounds of like, oh my God, I feel all of this stuff, I'm also somebody who, I still have like rules and like values of life where it's like, okay, if I love this person and at the end of the day, this is toxic or you're hurting me or we're just not headed in the same direction, I will still, you know, leave.
Okay.
You know, I'm not like, oh my God, I'm so in love. Okay. I'm going to sell my mother's property. Okay, like, cool. I'm going to pay a school fees. That's
okay, cool.
No, please, no.
Fair enough.
You know, I feel like no matter how hard I love, like, I still keep my head like up. Like, and it's funny because I feel like, not even I feel like, no one has ever broken up with me in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always the one pulling myself out of situations, no matter how strongly I feel. If I feel like, oh my, this shit is headed to the dust,
yeah,
I'm going to carry my load and like go. But yeah, so I was talking about feeling and choice and how I feel like there's also a choice where you feel this, but to now make it work and make it an actual relationship, mm-hmm, or whatever is going to blossom, that's where you have to begin to choose, because you choose how you act. Not choose how you act in terms of like how you...
It's how much of yourself you give.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like learning the other person, learning yourself, understanding, this is bringing my abandonment issues. And that is what's showing up in how we are fighting, how, mm-hmm, we're communicating. Okay, this person, you know, likes this or doesn't like this. This person requires this of me. I'm not this kind of person. You know, so that's where the choice to show up and the choice to actually like make it a successful relationship. And I think there's this Robert, what's his name? I think it's Steinberg. I can't remember right now. But he has like a triangular theory of love where there are three components for a successful relationship, and
okay,
one is passion,
mm-hmm,
one is intimacy, and one is commitment. So for a successful, you need that passion, you need that intimacy, you need that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of times what happens with many situationships is that commitment is where Wahala is. There can be passion, sometimes there's passion and intimacy,
yeah,
but that commitment is where
that's the,
you know,
problem.
Exactly, because, you know, inconsistencies with, it could be a billion
human nature as well.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
there's also that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, okay, yes, you can. There's also the thing about people choosing, oh, I've noticed it's a man thing more in general, but maybe not just man, maybe human beings as well. There are people who are like, yeah, just because I feel the strongest for you does not necessarily mean that, you know, according to my wife material to-do list, you don't be ticking,
yeah,
the boxes.
I think it's a man thing.
And I think it's mostly a man thing, yeah, and I see it all the time. And for me, I'm like, this shit always leads to regrets or cheating.
Cheating
for sure. Because it's like, why, and it's a weird, it creeps me out because like, why are we still stuck in that phase in this big 2023?
An image that you want for your,
like, for yourself and for your family, yeah, and for your
it
wife,
make
and
sense.
It's and it's like,
I think a
you're
lot
literally
of people
choosing
would be happier.
Yes, you're choosing unhappiness,
yeah,
but they're just like, no, I cannot, I don't have the capacity for this,
mm-hmm,
one, and it's like that actually wears me out. But now, I mean, linking it into sex, if you think about, can you think of like your best sexual experiences, like? Or your top,
top two, top three. Yeah.
And do you think that your feelings came into play in those?
One of them definitely not. If I'm thinking top two, one of them definitely not.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, yes.
Do you feel like feelings enhance sex for you?
So they could. They could. They very much could. But I think that sex can be very passionate without feelings as well. Like, without, obviously, you're not having sex with somebody that you hate or you can't stand.
Well, many people be doing that and they love it. They love they actually love having sex with people they hate because they feel like that's where the passion is, you know. It couldn't be me though.
There are other ways to tap into passion. You don't have to hate the person. What? How do you
people, yeah, they're like, I can't stand them, but like they'll still.
No, I can't. I can't, that can't be me. That can never be me.
Yeah.
But definitely, I think, what was I saying? I lost my train of thought. Feelings can make it more intense or more,
yeah,
passionate. But at the same time, there's people who I think that we just connect on a certain level. Like we are sort of sexually alike or,
mm-hmm,
similar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, we'd like certain things. And then when we actually just get together, it's extremely explosive.
Yeah.
Without actually, we don't talk often.
Yeah.
We're friends, but,
yeah,
like we've not had like deep conversations about life or like about me or you. We don't know ourselves that well. It's just the sex, really passionate sex
energy. And for sure, because I also say that sex can be very energetic, and you know, as much as it can be very, I fully believe that you can have passionate sex without feeling. In fact, I'm very pro talking about sex without feelings, because a lot of times men are always trying to say, oh, women have emotional sex. And I was like, nigga, shut the fuck up, please. Like, if we told you what we're up to, then all of a sudden we're all hoes. But it's just like, and that's why people will be pretending. And it still pisses me off when I hear, like, a lot of men will fully, until tomorrow they'll say, no, I cannot take my wife cheating because what's all, but they will cheat. I can't take my babe. I will leave her.
It's the double standards.
Do you get this? Always. It's the double standards. And it's like, you know the truth, because... And I think one thing people always say, so are you trying to say that all sex workers are in love with all their, you know,
jiggets?
Or the runs babes that you guys, you know, it's like, stop trying to equate both. Yes, it can come into play for sure. But, you know, I always say, like, me, how I know how good sex is with people for me is, where do you, I always ask you, where do you feel sex when you're having it?
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when it only feels good in, like, the genitals, like your genitals knocking. It's nice. Like, the actual act feels nice. And there are times when it's like your entire body, your entire body, all your neurons are firing.
Mm-hmm.
That's like second place. But for me, the ultimate is 1, 2, 3. When my heart's two is now
inside the mix.
It's now inside the mix. So I feel like it's a 3 point. I've always said it, like, and that's even before like sex, for me, for choosing a partner as well, I'm always like, it is all about 1, 2, and 3. Like, do I have that mental connection with you? Can we have certain kind of conversations? Are you smart? How does your brain work? You know, are you not a feminist? You know, just like basic stuff. Like, I love the thing is, I can connect to anyone from any walk of life. We can talk, we can play, we can laugh. But like, my own partner has to be someone who, where I can be as weird or as unhinged. We can sit down and be like, you know what, let's just start talking about stars. Let's start talking about, is water wet? Do you get, like, anything and everything.
Yeah.
And obviously, hearts, I want to know that you have that momo button. Like, it's like, I cannot explain why I'm so... The thing is, I always say, if I can tell exactly why I like somebody, then I don't really like them. Do you get, like...
We're so opposites. That's
really? Yeah. Nah.
Because, like, I know why or what I like in this person. And I feel like that's also... Because I'm running away from, not running, girl, not, I'm just not really interested.
Why are you running? Why are you not interested? Why are you not interested?
Like, I don't know. It's just too much.
Why is it too much? Breathe. It's just breathe. Much. When you feel it, just
it's too much.
Inhale it.
No, I don't need such intensity in my life.
I feel
like even in my relationships with my friends, like, I wouldn't use the tag best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people in my life that, you know, okay, when you see Amiela, you see this person. Yeah. And you know, obviously.
But do you say besties?
No.
What do you just call them?
I'm just like, oh, yeah, like, she's my guy. She's my person. She's my sister.
My person's sister.
You know, anything but
anything
best
but, wow. What are you afraid of? Let's delve into your childhood.
That's not a therapy session.
It's when you step into this one, because the summer, did you have a best friend who showed you paper in like primary school, and from there you ran away from the title? Like, what?
No, actually, I think I remember being in primary school and calling somebody my best friend, yes, but then I don't remember like
how you fell out.
I think I just changed schools, and then we just weren't.
Oh, you know, I shouldn't anymore. Suppress the memory for why best, you know, friend. I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know, because I've never really tried to like reassess that. Yeah. No, but I feel like when I like a person, I know what I like about this person.
So,
or if it's like sexually, like if I say, oh, this is what really turns me on about this person. Like, this is why when I'm having sex with this person, I feel this way. Like, I want to know so that I can be able to turn it off.
Is it control? You were doing so well. And I was like, oh my God.
So that when it's time to turn, I was like, okay.
No. See, that's why I said, if I can tell you the exact reason why I love someone, then I don't really love them. Like, the thing is, obviously, people that I feel like I love, I can tell you all the things I like about them. I can tell, yes, I love, you know, how we speak. I love how I feel when we're around. I love your mind. I love what you do with your tongue. All those kind of things. But still, there is something that I can't explain. And when I visualize it, for me, it feels like an energetic, like, rope, like a light, like a, you know, just, you can just feel it, but you can't explain, like, why, like, and then, sometimes there are things I realize after, like, okay, usually if somebody's with me and then when it's time to come, like, oh, okay, bye. But when I know that I've said I've fallen in love with somebody, it's like, she's here going. No. I start feeling sad when I start seeing you picking your phone and stuff. I feel my mood going down, you know, all that kind of stuff. Or I really miss you, like, when I'm apart from you, which is really rare, because, like, I'm not, people think I'm not an emotional person. Oh, Halima does not like love. It's a lie. Like, I'm the deepest, like, lover girl. But at the same time, I'm also not, like, a mumu for love type of person.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm also very, like, practical with it. And mm-hmm. it's also very rare for me to have those kind of, like, connections that would drive me to the brink of madness. I feel like in my entire life, I've only had two of that. There have been some that are close, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, I really like them. But I knew that it's like, it was not, you know, it's not that one that I'm like, go and bring my voodoo doll from your village. No. You know? So, yeah, yeah. I think that with those ones, obviously, like, being physical is very, very, very... And then I think the greatest thing, and I have said, I think I've experienced one of the greatest things in life, where it's like, you love somebody, and then sexually, you guys are like matched, like mm-hmm. energetically, like they tick all your boxes, you tick theirs. It's just something that I can't explain. Like, sex is, it can be a very transcendental experience. It can be very spiritual. It can be very, like... And it's such a point of connection, you know? And I think that for a lot of people, I always tell people, like, if you're with somebody who you're not sexually compatible with, that's your best friend, that's bestie, mm-hmm. that's your guy, that's not your partner, yeah. that's not your person, because the physical is what differentiates, like, that relationship from just being platonic. Yeah. Exactly, from that platonic. And obviously, sex looks different for certain people. For some people, what makes the sex, the connecting experience, is the cuddling that you do after.
Mm-hmm.
For some of us, it's the fact that I can drink your spit and I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. Ribena, do you know that kind of thing? You know, for some, so it depends on what, like, sex looks like for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how I feel. I think that love definitely takes sex to, like, an extreme, extra level. But you can also have mind-blowing physical, yes, without feelings, without, like, you know, everything else is firing, but, like, your chest is just not there. But that's how I know when I like someone, when I don't. If I have sex and I don't feel anything in my chest, like, it's just off, it's mm-hmm. switched off. It's not, my heart is not doing and stuff. Then I'm like, oh, there you go.
How do you even have time to find out what your heart is doing? Like,
that's where mindfulness comes in. Like, you need to, I can isolate every single muscle in my body. I feel everything.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. But, like, your heart can be pounding because the excitement is a lot.
No, no.
Or it can be pounding
Have you ever kissed somebody and got goosebumps?
Yes.
Have you ever killed somebody and got an electric shock in your chest?
No.
So, yeah. So, for me now, that's how I... Like, you can actually feel... Like, it's like... There's, of course, the excitement of, oh, my God, this is mad. And there's the, oh, my God, I'm finished. Like, when you feel that... So, that's how I know. It's like, kill somebody and your chest just... Doo-doo-doo. Like, somebody
puts... Maybe I've just never let myself...
Yeah. And I know, but I feel like I get that resistance from you. I can feel that, like... Why, though?
I don't know. It's just who I am.
No, it can't be. I mean, it can't be who you are. Like, I think that everyone deserves to have that, like, mind-blowing experience that will drive you over the edge. Because now it's giving, I'll marry somebody based on practicality.
Oh, I'm not getting married.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. That's valid. Yes. Yeah. But then, are you open to having, like, a life partner?
Yeah, sure.
That sounded so convincing.
Yeah, sure. Yes, sure.
Even more convincing.
Yeah, because I feel that without... So, for sex, right, I think that the more you have sex with a particular person, the more you guys learn each other's bodies and everything. Do you understand me? It gets better. So I definitely would want to be having sex with one person for a very long period of time. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we get along, like,
It's giving situationship. It's giving husband
long-term situationship
where you do everything. So you're like, oh, yeah, of course he's there. We might as well buy a house together. And it's like...
Yeah.
Well, let's have a child. Let it just happen. Yeah, my guy, though.
Exactly.
As friends.
Exactly. As friends.
Let's start a family as friends.
That's it. Friends that have sex.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, fair enough. Mm-hmm. And I relate with that because, you know, I've always, for a long time and up till, I mean, 50-50, because I always tell people, like, I can marry tomorrow, but it has to be designed the way I want. Mm-hmm. And the average design of the Nigerian marriage is something I'm just not interested in. I don't want, like, for me, I always believe in moving to the next level, if we're giving it labels or titles, at the end of that phase, it's like, if I want to, if I'm with someone who I call my husband, or we're like, oh yeah, we're a husband, like, I want people to already think we're together. We're already doing everything. Like, our lives are already so intertwined where we're just like, should we just, cool.
Yeah.
Not like, or some people start it first. It's like, people get in a relationship and they start learning each other. It's like, nah, let's, we've been situationshipping, seeing whatever for like 5 years.
And then you just fall into
something. And it's like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, actually, we're together. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'm more about like the content of what it is than the labels.
Exactly.
But I also feel like sometimes...
That's why labels aren't so important.
No, they're actually not. It's just that some people just don't have sense. Like, left to me, I can be on vibes and I don't care what you're called. Mm-hmm. You're just there. You're making me happy. I'm making you happy. Cool.
Yeah.
But some people just don't know how to show up in the way you need them to.
Okay.
If they don't, yes. Yeah. If they don't feel like, that. Yeah, that, oh yeah, you're my girl now. So, can you come, can you come? And then the thing is, it's right, because sometimes when, you know, if you're forming a situationship or you're forming, you're my guy, da, 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 it's kind of loose. You guys are happy. Then you turn on that title thing. There's always a shift that happens in certain people. Yes. Then all of a sudden, they become more possessive of you. They do this, they do that. Then that will now strain the relationship and then shit hits the fan. So I can see why a lot of people will shy away from it. But I feel like for some people, it's more of a security thing. Like, there's certain people who say, oh, I don't want to have kids, or I don't want to get married, or da 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 da. But underneath, well, fair. But underneath that is also... It's also conditional, right? It's like, if I feel safe enough with a person, if we've built a life in the way that I want, if I'm happy, you take care of me, I see you prioritize me, da 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 da, our values are aligned and stuff, I could, because, you know, I want to. But you know that the average, if you think of marriage naturally within like our friends and our sphere and like this age, how many marriages?
It's not something that you aspire to.
It's not something you aspire to. Like, so many, they're literally, they look like they're suffering, bro. It's like, it's not something that you
want. Or it's a joke most times.
Exactly, you know. And then, of course, like, many people are, I find that many single people are still like, oh, I want to marry for love, companionship, da da da. But there are also many people who, it's just another thing to take, or it's just to get their families to leave them alone, or they want the societal recognition, or, you know, we've just been groomed to feel like if you're 30 or 20, whatever, all of that stuff. And so, yeah, so for me, it's like being with someone who is not so, who doesn't care about that and is about, oh, it's you. Like, I mean, I want somebody who is like, your world, my, like, all you care about is me. Not, oh, I want to have a child, because no, it's like, I need to be enough. Like, let the family be two of us, jiggit.
Yeah.
So I feel like, so after, when you get to that point where someone makes you feel safe enough, then you can be like, okay, sure. Like, you're so even with kids.
Know, to be honest, that's what a lot of people tell me. It's like, oh, you can say this now, but you just not met the person that will make you change your mind and blah, blah. I know that I definitely don't want to be pregnant.
Like, no, that one. So that's what I was going to say. Like, for me now, kids is, I've always been like this. And then the older I get, the more I push. I realize it's not a hard no. It's just a very conditional no. And one of the conditions for one is I'm not birthing anything.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Like, that one, surrogates for sure.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think about, like, oh, do I never want to have kids? No, I don't never want to have kids. Mm-hmm. But if you give me $50 million, I have all the nannies, there's a surrogate.
Yeah.
And even still some time. I even still need time. Even if you give me all of that now, there's no, it's my life is just, now. It's just no. Because I still have so much enjoyment to do. Then maybe later I'm just like, oh, you know. Maybe if I'm so in love and I'm just
That's right. Adopting is also like an option, because they say, oh, your biological clocks. Like, actually birthing a child is not.
Yeah,
like,
no, that one is not. That one is, for me, is a hard. Like, it's a hard. Before I even say 89%, I'm 95% sure.
I'm 99%.
That I am not interested. 99.9. I swear, honestly, that I'm not interested in birthing one myself. Like, there's no reason for me to,
you know. I always think about those people who say they went to the toilet and like were having intense stomach pain and they just gave birth.
Yeah,
I would probably do that to a child in the toilet. Like, I'm sorry, but like, what?
Return to the hell from whence you came. She's like,
I'm sorry,
plunger.
I sound horrible, but
I mean, fair enough, because who did you come to? Whose life did you come to destroy?
I don't
destroy?
Even want it.
Do you get? Nah, no, for me, I mean, FTK, because my last Instagram deleted one of my posts when I wrote that was the name of one of my episodes, but it's like, whoop. You know, for sure, I know that, like, when I tell people, like, pregnancy is literally one of my greatest fears in life at my big age. I said it was a testimony for me, like, oh yeah, I celebrated my 30th, no pregnancy, no scares, nothing. I'm like, yeah, like I've done something great, because I'm not interested. And then you now see people being so honest about their experiences. You see, like, I lost my hair, I lost my teeth, I lost my skin, I went deaf.
I've even seen people who get like skin depigmentation, like develop.
There was one who I saw, like, she had rashes, her whole skin was peeling. I just saw that one like 2 days ago, her entire skin. There was another one who had she had a fracture, her hip literally separated. Like, she put it on Instagram, like, the hip actually, bah, it just split.
I saw one on TikTok today, the baby says she was paralyzed.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
Why?
I am actually need to even have a pregnancy and sex episode. Thank you for putting this in my mind.
Then the child will not come out and disrespect you.
Do you understand? You will not be there. The kids will not be glowing. I remember even one of my aunts, she had like, her hair was like reaching her back, everything. Her first son came. She has to go on locks because she lost so much of her hair. Her hair became thin and stuff. Meanwhile, my cousin there has like
full hair
like this.
Yeah,
everywhere.
I mean, I can understand. Every time my mom says, I tell my mom I want to cut my hair, she's like, don't you dare cut
my hair that you chopped. It's like, you can't. And child my thing. Kids are such a huge thing, like, and I feel like that's so those are the things that for me also as well, I think in terms of choosing like a life partner, those are things that have caused me to separate from certain people, because like we're just not aligned in that future. Like, I need some form of flexibility, and it's such a big deal breaker. And it's always men, it's a lie. So what are you going to do? Compare? I'm like, my kids, my friends, I'll be the rich. I'm very happy to be rich auntie.
This auntie.
When I go up and down, travel, sometimes I'll even tell people, bring your kids for the holiday.
Yeah.
People are going to enjoy your life and stuff. I'll take care of them. Like, it's
best
not
in auntie.
It's not something that I feel like, if I died and I never had one, I don't think that there would be that big a hole in my chest. I love kids, I love babies, but I don't have that desire to have one anytime soon. Yeah. Like, the conditions have to be so strict. And even if I don't, I will have dogs or some shit. Like, it's not that deep to me. Yeah, it's not that deep to me. It's nice, it's cute, it's wonderful. Like,
and they don't stay babies forever. They grow up, they become like.
And when you're like in love, children. Of course, that whole, having half of the man I love and half of the chemical.
And me and the person.
And
I love
me together. Like, it's
cute.
It's cute in the abstract, but in the reality, exactly. In reality, it's like, who's going to be. And it's funny because, I mean, I know how to do all the diapers and all this and all that, but it's just like, it's not a hole that is currently in my life right now. It's just not. Yeah, you know, men, you know, once kids, I want children, I want you. Yeah, right. Because you don't have to give birth. You don't have
of
to.
Of course,
like,
it's always the men.
The shaggy I've seen
more.
From PMSing alone is enough to know that I'm not even trying to. I'm not even trying to experience that at all, you know.
Not every day for 9 months.
And why do you have to be pregnant for a whole
for so
year?
Long. Like, why?
Like, 9 months. It's so insane. Like, what? 1 year of just like all sorts of shit. And some people, I mean, some
people
say they have
careers in that period. Fam.
Some people say, oh yeah, you know, it was an easy pregnancy. I only had morning sickness. Or like, fam, you can have morning sickness, incontinence, gas. Some people say yeast infections. You have monthly yeast infections because you're always juicing there.
Then you
the
not
cravings.
Have the child.
Do you understand?
Then your vagina is just a.
Do you understand? I mean, yes, it does go back after some time.
Some people it takes longer. Some people.
Yeah, and
that
6 weeks thing is a myth because everybody's body is like
it's
really different.
Exactly.
And something that is sad is that a lot of men actually. Trigger warning, they actually rape and molest their wives because they still demand sex. So it's like, what the fuck, you stabbed me for 6 weeks. There are people who, I remember on the internet, people were putting threads of how their men literally fucked them through the stitches. Like,
oh
they literally, yeah. Like, they're just like, they don't care. They actually don't care. Honestly, a lot of men are actually demented. And it sometimes it feels like we're always saying men, but that's what people are doing because, yes, some of you might have been educated now and you're opening your minds to realizing that women are just not there for your whatever it is. But you still have the average man on the street who thinks a woman is there for his servitude. She's his property, or I've paid your bride price, you know, all of that stuff.
Even the educated man still needs more education.
They
do.
They do.
The average educated man does not really like.
He does not know shit. Because it's so funny because today I was I was watching some interviews and I was seeing this, not interviews, well, I guess I'll call them interviews, this Honest Bunch podcast, and mm-hmm. this Idi Kabasa was talking, and he was spitting a lot of gems, you know, like so many of the things he said made sense in terms of, he was talking about vulnerability, even the message he gives to Gen Z, you're talking about how, you know, a lot of times people want to bring those old tenets to fix today's issues. He's like, take the principles of, you know, what the lesson is, but like obviously now in terms of Gen Z's and stuff, you can't be using cane, you can't be using you need to talk, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, just a lot of things that he spoke about. And then, yeah, it just evolved, he was talking about addiction. So a lot of things he said made sense. And I was even listening, only for me to now go on, because I was watching them on Twitter. Only for me to now go on Instagram, and then I now went to the Honest, because I would almost never go to that Honest Bunch page. Because almost everything that's going viral is some slut shaming of some sort or something irritating. But like, I was like, oh, okay, let me go and post one in my story. Only for me to click the first one. A woman must submit, the same guy, she must submit to a man, kinikon. Then he started bringing, there's this thing that people always do about like, about how a lot of single homes, like how you are more likely to have, the statistic that goes around is the kids from single homes are more likely to be dysfunctional, end up in jail or commit crimes, Then the statistics show that there are more single mother homes than, you know, both parents. And he was basically trying to say that more people are in trouble when they come from, you know, single parent homes. So it's basically, the moral of the story was basically trying to say you should fight to keep your home together. But then that statistic has been remixed, and then it's how someone says, why do people always want to judge the person who stayed? Because is it always the woman's fault that the man left? The man might be a deadbeat, the man might have 59 children up and down, you know, all of that stuff. So I got his message, but it's like, even men, you would feel like, oh yes, this person is smart, this person is educated, this person is, he's even opening his mind. That when someone says, a lot of men start off misogynistic. That's just their training. That patriarchy is so deep in them. The sexism is deep in them. And some can be great everywhere, but that is one area where they wouldn't even question. They wouldn't even question like, okay, should I? Yes, I've opened my mind to healing and to this and learning. But when it comes to women, it's still that whole closed-minded, slut-shaming type. Oh, a woman should do this, and it's just so sad. It's very sad.
It's funny how I think that, speaking of people who come from like single parent homes, I feel like they have a more realistic idea of the world.
They're more resilient as well, because it's like, you know, you've seen what life could potentially be.
Yeah.
Although for some people it does inform like their with everyone, to be honest, your home base, with every situation, it will form like how you view relationships and stuff. You know, there's someone who told me how, because she was from a single parent home, she just never thought marriages were meant to last. There's some people who the happy homes have made them go into the world expecting some of my
parents are together. They've been together 36 years, and I don't want
to get married. So at the end of the day, it doesn't always translate. And a lot of people, you will find that, even the ones in supposed together homes, that's where their trauma even started from.
True.
Because even if your parents are together, if your father is a misogynistic prick, I'm sorry, it will show in how he treats your mom. True. And sometimes she will also transfer that aggression to you. And even in psychology, you find that where apparently like the trifecta of like abuse is home, school, and then religious institutions and stuff. So sometimes obviously people just, that's the thing about the world that's so scary. There's so many statistics, even with sex, even with like people, when people talk about how, oh, women, why women get attached after sex is they have oxytocin, men is testosterone, it makes everyone, just like, that's not how it works. The more sex you have as a man, the more your testosterone increases. It does not necessarily mean that you don't want intimacy. And I've also had this conversation about intimacy and how a lot of times men don't get to access intimacy because society likes to over-sexualize them. So you find people pretending that they want to have sex with a lie. They're lonely. They just want a cold, a warm body beside them, you know, and all of that stuff. And so there are certain things that people just keep repeating, and then they push them in the studies and everybody be arguing rubbish. Meanwhile, it might have been one controlled group
Yeah.
And then you want to translate it into everything and say, oh, that's the justification for your bad behavior. That's why I'm going to be an ass or whatever. It's like, that doesn't even resonate with who you are. You know, mm-hmm. you're a nigga who wants to cuddle.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, me, I'm the one who's just like, okay, thanks for coming, you know, get up and stuff. And even then too, nothing in this life is absolute. There are certain people where you're a certain way with, and there are other people where, you know.
Yep.
You're quite different. So, yeah. It's just, I love how we've barely spoken about love and sex. We've just been
talking about
everything. But I mean, honestly, it really, really is like, it really is all, it's really all connected, and it's very intertwined. And I think, I mean, speaking of love and this, our generation, you know, people always say, oh, they just feel like, love doesn't exist in more lives, obviously. But I think that, you know, do you find that streets are more guarded than they used to be back then?
Yeah, because I think that, first of all, nobody wants breakfast. Yeah.
You still eat it.
At least even if it's like one spoon, you still taste it. Yeah. But I think everybody is definitely more guarded because it's like, okay, even if I'm going to eat, is this the person that's serving me the breakfast worth it?
Yeah.
You know? Well, yeah, I don't think there's no love. There's definitely still love out there. Everybody's just like me. More like
you. Yeah, you, exactly. No, but we need you to, like, open up. I think that that's one thing about Misha. I think that I feel like for me to have lived, like, a rich, full life, I want to feel everything
Someone said that to me recently, and it's like, oh, there's so much of you that requires being given to others. You know, you're supposed to be shared with people. You know, you're not supposed to just, like, guard yourself. And I'm like, whatever.
I'm screaming. like, it's like, you like, have to remain soft. You have to come back to your softness. And I think that that's definitely one thing that's been, my journey has been, like, from entering the world very then I became really guarded, then you know I open and close, but like that's why I said when there's certain people who no matter how high your walls are, that feeling will always jump, mm-hmm. they will always scale it. But a lot of people sometimes when that person jumps over that, they run away, because obviously the older we get, and that's one thing, I mean, someone spoke about how a lot of people who are tainted by life right now, like your experiences obviously inform how you show up in other relationships. Nobody wants to go through that pain again. So some people, when they're like, ah, this one has the capacity to finish me, they run away, mm-hmm. they ghost mm-hmm. them, you know, they try to avoid, you know, all of those. No, you smile. I'm just like, I don't care. Like, I always see things through, because pain is pain, but like, pain will always pass.
Yes. You know, that's why I was going to say that next, because I said, I went through surgery like some years back, and I thought it was very horrible. Like, I thought I wouldn't live past this. Like, I just thought it was a very horrible feeling in that moment. But I, like, obviously healed from it. And so it's like the same kind of thing in your life. In every inconvenience you're going through, there's relief afterwards. There's relief, it's not always going to be like painful.
Yeah.
So you get over it. Even people who have been pregnant and have had children, of they will tell you.
They'll go back again.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's because, you know, when your birthday is around the corner, you just feel, you have a lot of, like, what they call this thing? You
start epiphanies to reflect and start to, when's your birthday again?
Next week.
Woo,
you start reflecting and all of that. So I don't know if that's the state that I'm currently in that's making me say, okay, you know what, from now on, I would sort of just, like, unclench a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, and not be so tight. And, you know, let's see next year.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's what my friend is calling me. And it's like, And I get it, because at the end of the day, in this life, it's very important to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. But you don't, you know, at the end of, you don't want to keep yourself locked in because you're trying to keep people out.
Yeah, like, no, I don't think I do. I think that the people who are in my life would tell me, like, know that I'm a very, like, I'm a sweet person. It's just the people who actually get to see the sweetness.
Of course. But I mean, it's easier to do that with friends than, like, with, like, relationships, you know?
I think it's just that I'm very observant. My observant phase might last very, very long time, you know, like, except I feel like, okay,
but you don't want an analysis paralysis though. It's like, at the end of the day, you can calculate and analyze. Yes, you can calculate and say, I'm watching, I just, they see, but sometimes the proof is in the pudding, you know, you have to, You have to jump inside, you know, and just open yourself up to love. jump inside, some days dive, you know. Me and me are talking as if no, I'm out there loving in the streets.
Exactly.
But I do sometimes. Like, I will always, like, as long as I feel like something is, like, real. And even with, like, friendships and stuff, I feel like I don't want anyone to be the reason why I'm robbed of, like, an authentic, like, connection that is deep. Like, I love deep connections. I love deep friendships. Like, you know when, like, you're with someone and you're just like, damn, like, we just feel like this was meant to be. Like, you can feel that soul-to-soul connection. And this isn't only just, like, physically or with, like, romantic partners and stuff. A lot of times it also shows up in friendships as well.
So you just realize you want to be around this person
all the time. And you know, like, that's how they say sometimes you're, like, how you say your sisters. That's very random, but, like, I'm someone who, like, I don't call people, like, my sister or my brother. Like, I don't know if it's a possessive thing because I just have one brother. So, like, I just have one brother.
Okay.
Like, I can call you bestie, best friend. You're my blood. But I don't know. I'm just like, when I don't say, oh, she's my sister. No, you're not my sister. You're not my sister. I mean, I love you as much as I would love a sister. Yeah. I mean, there's only one person who I call my little sister, to be honest. But we're literally, like, besties.
I think that's my own. How do I say it? It's the way I say that you're going to be
blood,
in my life
for a very long time. So that's how you express your own intimacy and stuff.
Even if you are like, we fight tomorrow and we don't speak for 3 months.
Yeah, yeah, still my person type thing and stuff. Yeah, I think for me it's very like best friends, besties. Like, I'm always someone who like, and sometimes it has caused like, I don't say issues, but like, because I can get really close to like a lot of people, I think that I have like a very big heart. I have like capacity for like deep connections. And the way I nurture my friendships, I'm someone who I don't bring everybody together. I like to build like my one-on-one. So it's all deep on its own. And I just have so many people that I love and stuff. And I mean, same way, there are people who have been in my life where you have seen me with them every day for 1 year, then and they're gone. And it is what it is. And I basically just refuse to allow past experiences deprive me of. So some people, because one, they call someone their best friend, then they show them shiggy, then they're just like, no, I'm not doing best friend again. I'm not doing best friend. It's like, I hate having to hold back. I feel like I'm stifling myself in any capacity and how I show up in the world and things I want to say. And as long as it feels right and aligned, I don't want to allow fear to stop me from experiencing it just because just because there's possible pain. Because either way, I feel like you still feel that pain in certain. It may not be as harsh, but you microdose it, or you feel it as love, or to show up as grief, or just like knowing that, you know, something is missing there. So yeah, that's just how I feel.
I'm taking mental notes.
Right. Yeah. So any last nuggets? Tip of the week. When it comes to love and sex.
What I would say is, first of all, don't hold yourself back from having amazing sex because you think that it has to be tied to love.
Yeah, for sure.
And then don't think that you're in love with somebody because you are having great sex with the person.
Valid, extremely.
Because that can be very confusing as well.
That's very valid. That's very valid.
Yeah.
I mean, I fully agree with that as well. My own, you know, little nuggets when it comes to like love and sex is, I think that having great sex with someone you're in love with is like one of the keys to having like the best like relationship. You know, a lot of times life, one of the greatest markers of people feeling like they lived a good life is actually, unfortunately, tied to great relationship satisfaction. But good sex, good physical intimacy is also tied to having great relationship satisfaction. So it's all linked. So I think that it's something that it's all connected. It's something that people should take seriously. I need people to take sexual compatibility more seriously with your life partners, because this whole chop here, no chop here, you're depriving yourself of like a rich, you know, fuller experience and stuff. And like, that's it for me. I think that's all I have to say. Like, I know, obviously, I 100% agree that you can have sex with people, amazing, mind-blowing sex, people that you don't love. Like, they don't always have to be connected. It's just very you know, layered. So,
and
yeah.
also you can have very amazing sex with people that you're in love with. Love actually enhances it as well.
It does. It yeah. does. I think that, and I've said it before, that I think that love gives a 2 points. Like, if somebody has the same sex with two different people,
mm-hmm.
but they're in love with one and they're not in love with one, they'll say the one they're in love with is like, let's say it was both 5 out of 10. They say that one was 7 out of 10. Because it definitely elevates and enhances, you know, that experience and stuff. So yeah. Which is good and sometimes it's bad because it's like, that sex actually worked. But because you love them, you go, yeah. you collect it and stuff. So.
Yeah.
It's all about balance. It's all about balance, you know, just, yeah.
Oh, pick your poison.
Pick your poison in this life. Pick your poison. I choose good sex.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Find me on Instagram as House of Chocolates. Follow the podcast as Spit or Swallow Pod. Find us on YouTube as Spit or Swallow Podcast. And on Twitter, SOS Pod Official. TikTok, Spit or Swallow Pod. Where can we find you, Amula?
I'm on Instagram as dark-skinned female. That's all that matters.
Exactly. And she is a beautiful, shiny, dark-skinned female. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Take care, guys. Bye.